I'd like to share with you a thought on the Megillah. Thought on the Megillah. Is that okay? Yeah? Yeah? I'm singing Megillah's horse. Yeah. Is that okay? I'd like to share with you the following thought. We find that it's quite incredible what Rus went through. If you think about it for a moment, that she came, she was a daughter of a king, she was a princess, and she gave up everything to be mistapek l'shchina, to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She gave up her wealth, her yichas, her fortunes, her money, her family. She gave everything up, and she went to get with Naomi. She went with a mother-in-law, that is, with a mother-in-law. Imagine that. With her mother-in-law, she went to Eretz Yisrael, and she gave everything up. And there she knew she's going to have poverty, she's not going to find a shidduch, she's not going to have anything, nobody's going to look at her. And how did she have the kach to do that? How did she have the drive to do such a thing? Where did she get that from? Where did she get that kach from? Imagine to give up everything to push that far. And her sister didn't manage. Oppa turned around, right? Hence, Oppa went and turned around, made a U-turn. And she, so I heard once from a very, very chosh v'yid, and I've told a kopshit shlita, and he heard it from, I think, his grandfather, that there is a yisoid. Yisoid that it's such a gewaldige chizik for all of us. And the yisoid is ein odom oise mitzvah v'mafzit. There's no such thing as a person does a mitzvah and you lose out. There's no such thing. It's axiomatic. A person does a mitzvah, he'll somehow, sometime, at one point, he'll get something back for it. Ein odom oise mitzvah, a person will never do a mitzvah v'mafzit and loses out from it. We don't know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be in 5 years, could be in 50 years, could be not in my bar. We don't know. But we do know a fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back. Good for good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back. We never know when. And a person, it could be an incredible engine for a person. It's a real drive. If you know that, you're not going to lose out from doing a mitzvah. If Rus had the kach to push herself, it's without a suffix. She had that kach, she had that realization that Elodom is a mitzvah mafsid. She thinks that initially it looks like you're losing out all your wealth and all your fortune, all your yichas and everything. But eventually you know that Elodom is you're going to gain. And the truth is she did gain. Of course, she married at the end of the tzaddik, Boaz, for a short time only. But she married a tzaddik. She was financially settled for the rest of her life. And she had a yichas, her great-grandson was David HaMelech. And with that, we could very well be, that's why the Megillah's source finishes with those words. Vishai Hoylid as David. He finishes off making the connection between Rus and David to show that at the end she got everything. She got everything back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid kevel kiflayim, put everything back. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Enodom Oysa Mitzvah Mafsit, you can never lose out from doing a mitzvah. You can never lose out. And I think that could be the essential drive that Rus had. Yeah. Right, we are up to Simen Reish Yud Zayin. We are talking about the halachas of psamim. We touched upon, I just want to finish off this Mishnah Berurah of Katan Vav and then speak about the relevant halachas we got to Yom Kippur. Mishnah Berurah says, if a person wants to smell spices which are on the table, let us see what Mishnah Berurah says. We're going to get straight into it. Agudas psamim shemunachim al ha-shulchan. I mean, it's of Katan Vav. Hagudos psalmim, I'm like a few words into the Mishnah Berurah. Hagudos psalmim shemunach mal ha-shulchan ariach bohem. If there is like bundles of psalmim which are on the table to smell them, him noit loy pam echot, if you take the spices once, lo ariach bohem to smell it, umevorech olav, and you make a bracha, v'choyzer menich ha-shulchan, you return it onto the table, him o yodai toy lachsov lo ariach bohem, if your intention was to smell it again, ein tzorech levorech aleihem, kshechoyzer menich bohem, you don't make a bracha again. If your intention was, when you smelt it, I'm going to smell it in 5 minutes again, you will not make a bracha again. It's not hezchadas. Afilu yotzi mi beisei, even if you left the house, v'day t'lachsa miyad, en tzorech levorech alem, if you know you're going to come back, you don't make a bracha again. Kim v'shedai tu mitchilo l'reach b'hem, since you knew very well you're going to make a bracha again, p'chol choyni time. Im holach la'asoka, but if you went completely away, or leispal be'zaknes, you left the premises, you're in a different place altogether now, have a hefsek, it's called an interruption, it's called levach shenitz, you'll have to make a new debocha. It probably isn't. It probably is the same halacha. That, it probably is the same. So it just brings us back to the shaila we asked yesterday and we failed to answer in terms of Yom Kippur if you've got psalmim. Can you take a psalmim in the morning and make to get to the 100 brachas a day by putting it back and 2 hours later make a new bracha and like this get to a number of brachas based on what we learned now? Why? Hefsek? So I am not sure. Mishnah Berurah elsewhere says that you can't. And in Hilchos Yom Kippur says, and it's based on this Mishnah Berurah's concept that since Kol Zman Shelo Yitzyach Daito, since it's not complete as Chadas, just by putting the spices on the table or on your neighbor's table, it's not considered as Chadas. You know when you make initially the bracha, in a half an hour later, you're going to make a bracha again, that's not considered as Chadas, and you will not be allowed to make a new bracha. If, however, this is after, in between you went home and you came back, oh, it's a long, long, long hours in between, then it's fine. But just by putting it away for half an hour, I'm just making up the figure for half an hour now, but it's just that it's not a significant, then you won't be able to make a bracha. It's not considered as Chadas, it's not a Hefsek, and you can't make a new bracha. Maybe. Maybe.
Rob taught us a lot that if you're sitting around the table having a tiller and 70 minutes have elapsed, even if you're still sitting around the table, even if you're...
Equal. Zman equal. Here it goes different. Here it goes different because it's not about equal. It's not about equal. There's no, as Mishnah Berurah elsewhere said, there's no equal with regards to, there's no digestion with regards to smell. So it's about the das of the brachas. How long is this bracha being, how long is the bracha holding? So and that is relating to Eschadas.
If we're told that the nature of bracha is that it's transitory, so that as soon as you stop smelling it, it's gone.
Yeah. According to you, if you just put it down for a second, and would you have to make a new bracha again?
So that's mamish the same.
What's the difference? What is the point? So what is the point? Why is that? Why do you understand that?
I'm just surprised. It's better than the 72 minutes you have for...
Because
for food.
This is in terms of bracha achoyna, and that's equal. You can't make a bracha achoyna on something which has already digested.
But even, let's say you make a shahakot on something smaller than a kazayas. And you stay in the same place, and 72 minutes later, would you have to make another shahakol?
Yeah.
So you would?
Yeah.
So why is this better than the shahakol?
Because it's purely... Yeah. It's a good question. If you're asking this way, it's a good question. Good question. Any answers? Shahakol, I think it's a very good question. It's obviously, the answer will have to be something about the... Yeah, what do you want to say? As opposed to shahakol, it's a good question. It's a good question. Valid point. Okay. Shulchan Aruch Seif Beis. Hein mevochin al areach. You will not make a bracha on any smells. Elohim kein, unless nasa l'oreach. The smell is here for you to smell. Hilkach, therefore, Ein Mevachin, you will not make a bracha al psomim on spices shalmesim of people who are nifta, of dead. Hanesunim lemalo me'amito, some smells are placed on top of the oroin, where a nifta is lying. She'einom elo lehavir sichoinoi, which is dead because it's only there. The reason why the smells are there is to remove the odor emerging from a nifta. If it's on top, but if the smells are put underneath, you will make a bracha mevachin. Because we will say, if it's placed underneath the mita, we say it's actually there for the chayim, for the people around, for the living. Hemasuyim. So it depends. If there is a nifta, it depends why, how, where are those smell? Where is this psalmim placed? Is it on top or is it in the bottom? If it's on top, we say that it's only there. The spices are there to remove the odors from the nifter. But if it's underneath, then it's there for the chayim, for the people alive, and therefore you will make a brocha. Lichvad chayim asui. V'chein, and similarly, ein mevorchin al psomim shel beis hakisei. If there's psomim in the beis hakisei, in the toilet, psomim are placed there, you don't make a brocha on it. Why not? It's not there for the positive smell, it's in order to remove the bad smell. V'loyal shemen, also la'avir is azumo, and also not on oils, which are made to remove the zuama, the shvitz, the sweat, which very literally like a cream or any oils which you spread on the body, which is in olden days, it was very common. People didn't have, obviously, plumbing systems like we've got nowadays and water in the houses. So showers and the modern hygienic facilities that we've got nowadays were obviously not available. So it used to be very, so the way people would clean themselves would much more be with oils. They would smear oils on them rather than having, rather than using water. And because water facilities were not really as so available. So, what's the statement about Queen Victoria? Did you know that? What was that? Did you tell it to me once? Somebody once said it, I think in Shir. Do you know it? Anybody? That's right. She was rich enough to browse twice a year. That's what I heard, yeah. Yeah. I think there was no fresh. I don't think there was definitely lack of water, and there was facilities were not. Yeah. So exactly. So they used to have oils. So now, what if you use those oils lehavi azuama? So the oils are lehavi azuama. But often, why not? You can add to them some ingredients which makes it smell nice. So would you make a bracha on this or not on those oils? Would you make a bracha on it or not? So here the Shulchan Aruch says, no, you do not make a bracha. La'al shemen osu la'avi azazuma on oils, which are here to remove the smell, you don't make a bracha on that. Again, for the same reason. There's a concept here. There's an underlying concept. And the underlying concept is, you will only make a bracha on mine psamim if it's something which is positively here to create a nice, pleasant smell. If it's there to remove a non-pleasant smell, to rid of odor, you will not make a bracha, although it may be smelling good. But you won't make a bracha on it, because it's a negative aspect. Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan Tes, if it's l'chvod ha'chaim, k'dei sh'ruchu me'vienu, you make a bracha on it. Seif Katan Yud, al psomim shel beis ha'kisei, al psomim which is in the toilet, she'moylich istenes le'beis ha'kisei. There is slightly more elegant people and more spoiled people that when they go to the Beis HaKisei, again, there was no flowing water, so the Beis HaKisei would be with the repulsive odor from the toilet would disturb him. Hence, he would bring along some strong spices into the Beis HaKisei. So now, if you bring along those strong spices into the Beis HaKisei, lehavi oreach hara, to remove the bad odors, people will not make a bracha on this if you're standing nearby either. Given the ba'alim lo asom elu la'avir ha'reach ro, because nobody, the ba'alim had only put them there to remove the bad smell. And even somebody, a person nearby standing, if he's going to smell it, it's also not going to make a bracha. Somebody asked yesterday, is it the kavon of the intention of the person smelling or the person putting it there? Was it you?
It was Jonathan.
He asked the question. Yeah, so the question was, so here we see in Mishnah Berurah clearly that it's about the person, here it appears, that since the Baalim put it there for to remove the bad, say, well, even if the person a minute away, he only smells the very good smell, but he can't make a bracha on it because the purpose and the intention of the spices was to remove the bad odor. Now we are talking about the oil, Sifkot Yud Aleph. Sifkot Yud Aleph also lavir. Kigoin also shigufa miziahab, a person who sweats particularly much. Fetzorach losuch gufa bishmane psomim, and a person smears oil on himself, which have a good smell. Lavir, to remove zuam asazer, to remove the shvitz, shirech hora, which doesn't smell pleasant. Fechenk sheoichel, similarly when a person eats, viodov mizuamois, and his hands get dirty, because he touched with his hands the food, so he had dirty hands, And again, they didn't have any water to just rinse their hands or wash their hands. They would dip their hands in that oil and then schmiert. And no, it's oil, it's clean. Don't make a face. That's what your great-great-grandfather did. And all of our great-grandfathers did. Then you again you don't make a bracha. Nami enem evorich. The gambeze ikor lehavir azum avloi l'oreach. If you dip your hands in the nice smell and then you schmit, it's again you're only doing it because your hands were dirty from the food. So therefore you don't make a bracha. Ve'nafke ben shemen stam leshemen afasim and chshiva. Makes no difference what oil it is. The bchol enin evorich in alem shum brachikim shlebo er lesalek azumo. Right, so that would be very relevant again. As we mentioned yesterday, you've got soap, using soap, hand soap. Even if it is, it still contains the natural ingredients. Let's say you've got this natural organic soap. Does that exist at all? Probably does. No? So you've got this made fully 100% natural ingredients, and it hasn't been processed that much. Now you wash your hands with soap, and now you smell your hands, and they smell very, very nice. Will you make a bracha on it? Yes or no? The answer is no, you don't. And if the question is why not, it's spicy, you should make bracha on epsomim. The answer is going to be, even if there is still some soap on your hands, the answer is going to be you don't make a bracha on it because it's something which is there to remove the bad smell as opposed to something which is there to positively good smell. True or not true? And therefore, you won't make a brach on it. One thing I was wondering, if you go to very posh places, you will sometimes see something which is not antibacterial hand washers, but in some posh places, there's next to the hand soap, there's something else. Moisturizer. Or, yeah. Hand, right. And that is clearly not antibacterial. It's clearly not something which actually cleanses your hands. It's purely there to give it that additional nice smell. There, you could question, I didn't see Poskim speaking about it, but there you could question what would be the shaila. There you could say that, one second here, if it's natural and etc., yeah, as far as the product is concerned, it's assumed that it's something which would make sorry on. So in terms of that, you could argue, I don't know what you're tying there. That could be that if it's fully natural, you could say that maybe it's there positive to make it a good smell. It's not comparable to Havi Azuama, it's not comparable to the dirty hands, it's not comparable to the Schwitz, it's not comparable to the Besakese, it's not, because your hands are clean now, you're putting it there for an additional smell. So maybe there you could argue that you could make a brachon. Never seen anybody doing it, I didn't see any poskim speak about it, but it's a thought.
It's to soften.
So therefore, there's a different different motive here. It's not for the smell. It's not for the smell. Okay, so that would be another reason. That's any can't make a bracha. Yeah, you'll make a bracha. Pardon?
Would you have to make the bracha there and then? Because you're in the toilet. You wouldn't make the bracha.
You'd make it a second later, as we discussed yesterday. You can make it. You could, yeah. Like by the smoke, we learned yesterday or 2 days ago.
The smoke will have gone by the time you go out, maybe. So what's the point?
So as long as the smoke, we learned 2 days ago, if the smoke is still a good smell, and you fail to make a bracha the first minute, smoke still comes up and it's still you could still make a bracha as long as the smoke is still there. Yeah.
What would be if you had generally air fresheners, you're right, they're to get rid of the bad smell, but some you wanted to
what happens if a person puts in the dining room some air freshener?
Yeah,
a nice airy yeah. Perfumes. So, but that's again, that's to remove the bad.
No, it's
to make it positive.
Men wear them, it's questionable whether it might be almost a form of peganisha, not a form of, not peganisha, but sort of anhagasisha.
Right.
But nonetheless, in some of these posh places, they have these things called aftershave.
Right. So.
Did you do an aftershave?
So aftershave, so I think, I don't know what you think about aftershave. Again, assuming that it's not synthetic, yeah? Assuming that the ingredients, I don't think that they are natural. I think that the ingredients, as far as the ingredients are concerned, you will make a brach on it. But let's assume that it is a kind of completely natural and it's still in there. What would you say about an aftershave? What would you say?
No.
Can it be kibbach or not? Why?
You're doing it just to get a better shave. You're not doing it for the smell.
Not so sure.
For pre-electric.
I'm not so sure.
Not the balm, is the actual aftershave. Balm as you do pretty.
Yeah, I have a feeling that you can't make a bracha, because ultimately we'll go into this category that it's the... What do you think? That you could make a bracha on it? Although it's meant for good smell, but I don't think you can make a bracha on it. Pashtus, you can't make a bracha. Mugmar, Shulchan Aruch Seif Gimel. Oh, we'll start that because it's very important. What happens if you made your mugmar and you made this mugmar, what was mugmar again? The roasted spices, and you have now kelim over here means, like normally in the Loshna Mishnah, kelim is referring to garments. Now, when you had garments, again, we didn't have the dry cleaners that we have nowadays. Imagine they lived without all these facilities. So, yeah, and they still survived. And they were very happy. Maybe they were even happier than us. I don't know. Yeah, they probably were.
My late mother said they got their hands dirty, and that built up immunity.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, Rabbi Sai, and what happens if you wore the suit for weeks and months and years? And so Shulchan Aruch had a good idea. Tells us that what they used to take this mugmar, strong, nice smelling mugmar, and you'd put this jacket and these trousers and this put over it, and you keep it there. Like, I suppose you'd keep it there for a bit, and you take it out, and then it smells nice and fresh. By the way, it's probably quite similar to when you go to dry cleaners. Apparently, they spritz after is a nice thing. Don't make no mistake. Make no mistakes. Apparently, they spritz after something that when you. Apparently, did you hear that? Dry cleaners. Yeah, the fret that it smells fresh and nice. That's apparently some air freshener that spritz over it. So, apparently so. So, you have to know the tricks of the trade. I don't know. I've got a nephew who works by a dry cleaner. So, did you know that? So the shaila is, so this mukmo now, you have this mukmo shemgambu moisakelim. Shulchan Aruch says, what have you got? You had these trousers now, that you put over this mugmo. Now it smells really nice. Can you make a poch of it? Yes or no? It smells nice. Why not? You're right, but why not?
It's to enhance the clothes.
Yeah, it's true. But it says even more than that. But that is what aim of arch in the love, you don't make a poch on it. Okay, we'll explain that mitzvah next year. But it's actually quite similar to the spritz that you put on clothes. To recap what we covered tonight, we spoke about that Yom Kippur you don't make a bracha unless there was a proper serious hezchadas. Can't make a bracha twice unless it was a significant hezchadas. Ein mevorchin al areach. Unless it was made for positive smells, so we spoke about the Beis HaKisseh, about the dirty hands, about the shvitz, everything. And we said, you don't make a bracha because it's to remove bad. We also spoke about, we mentioned also the intention of the Baal HaBayis is what counts. And then we finished off talking about the Mugmah and the Kelim, which we'll go into greater detail on Sunday, Beis HaKisseh.